Thank you for calling in today to the Daily Inspiration. We are in day 6 of our 7-day series, Gold from the Book of James. And what we've been doing is looking at different gold nuggets that we find in the Book of James. And I have these listed. I'm going to read through those as review today, and then we'll be adding to some of these gold nuggets. The first gold nugget was the power of the resurrection transforms lives when we truly believe. The second gold nugget was we have joy in the midst of our trials and temptations. The third gold nugget was God gives wisdom to those that ask in faith. The fourth gold nugget was God is good, but often gets blamed for bad things that happen. The fifth gold nugget is if you are only a hearer of God's word, you are deceiving yourself. And the sixth gold nugget, don't have partiality towards people. This doesn't, and neither should. Gold nugget number 7 is it faith alone that saves? The faith that saves is not alone. And the eighth gold nugget is an unbridled tongue equals a deceived heart and a worthless religion. Well, gold nugget number 9 is where we're at today, and what it says is, what fruit best illustrates your wisdom? I'll say that again. What fruit best illustrates your wisdom? We're going to be reading out of James chapter 3 and starting with verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. And that word conversation isn't just our speaking, but it's a consistent life, or it's our behavior. The way that we live our life is what that word means. So let him show out of a good life, his works with meekness of wisdom. Verse 14, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. So here our gold nugget, we'll read on a little bit later, but here our gold nugget says, I'll get that again, what fruit best illustrates your wisdom? Okay, well, this first wisdom, it says that it's the wisdom that descendeth not from above. It's earthly, it's sensual, and it's devilish. What is your life like? Is there bitter envying and strife in your hearts? It says here that this is the kind of wisdom that is of the earth, is this strife and envy. If those things are in your life, and I hope we're honest with ourselves, hope we're not deceiving ourselves, is there strife, is there problems? As I look at even in Galatians there, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, there's love, there's joy, there's peace, there's long-suffering, there's gentleness, there's goodness, there's faith, there's meekness, there's self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Is that what best illustrates your life, or is it strife? Is it criticalness? Is it looking down on others? Is it envying, wanting what other people have, lusting after other things, trying to keep up with the Joneses or the Smiths or the Martins or whoever it might be? What is the fruit of your life? What is coming out of your life? Is it bitter envying, strife? It says, glory not, and don't lie against the truth. It says, where this wisdom comes from is not from above, but it's earthly, it's sensual, and it's devilish. this kind of strife, this kind of bitterness. And then it says, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. And so we have another word brought into this. It's confusion. Is your life, the things that are going on, is it just in confusion? Does it seem like nothing goes right? And you have a bad attitude or you get frustrated and lash out at people, even like we were just looking at the tongue. In yesterday's message, you use your tongue. It's not bridled. It's not under control, and it lashes out at people. Well, that's the wisdom that does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. So, what fruit best illustrates your wisdom? Is it that, or is it verse 17? But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So I'm hoping that this is what your life looks like. I'm hoping that this is the wisdom that you are operating under. It's the wisdom that is from above. It's a wisdom that's from God. It's like the fruit of the Spirit I just went through. It's very peaceable. It's gentle. It's easy to be entreated. I like that one. That, you know, if people come to you and talk to you about something, maybe it's something they see in your life. Are you going to make excuses, or are you going to just be easily entreated? You want to grow. You want to be a stronger Christian and more full of the Spirit or whatever. And it's full of mercy. You see things in that way, merciful. You're merciful to people, and there's good fruits, and there's no partiality. There's no discrimination. You don't look at one person one way and another person another way, and I'm not talking about sinful things that people are doing. I don't think we should accept those things that people are doing, but we need to look beyond what they're doing and look at the person and still be able to love them and try to reach out to them. Maybe they won't have anything to do with us, but I'm not saying that we should accept the sin that people are in, but we shouldn't be looking at somebody like we looked at in another lesson this week, that has money, and somebody who doesn't have money. And we look at the one with money and we try to make it them, and we don't with the others. Or that there's no hypocrisy. We're the same towards all people. And then verse 8 says, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. What a beautiful scripture. It's a very good one to memorize, these verses that we just read here, verse 13 through 18, and even this whole chapter about the tongue. It's a very good chapter to memorize. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. But let's have the fruit of righteousness. Let's not have the fruit of envy and strife, which is from the devil. It's earthly, sensual, and devilish. So, gold nugget number 9 is what fruit best illustrates your wisdom. Gold nugget number 10 is beware. Lust can destroy family and the church. James 4, 1 through 3. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. So beware, lust can destroy the family and the church. And I don't think it's wise for us to take these three verses and take it out of the context of the church or out of the context of our own families, our own relationships. I think we should squarely and see that it's talking about the church here. It's talking about the people of God. James is addressing that. He's not looking at those on the outside necessarily. He's looking at those on the inside. And so he says, from whence comes wars and fightings among you? Is there strife in the home? Is there strife with your children? Is there strife between father and mother? Is there strife in the church? Is there problems there where people aren't getting along and you, you don't even want to go talk to some people because, you know, there's some problems there. Or there's problems in the church. It says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even from your lust that war in your members? You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not, because you ask not. And I think when it says kill here, I don't necessarily think that he's talking about actual killing people, but, you know, we can kill people, we can destroy people with our words and with our attitudes and those kind of things. And if you look at maybe a newly married couple, and yeah, let's call it, we'll call his name John and her name Mary. And John and Mary, they get married and they are having, you know, a good honeymoon and all of this. John has a decent job. He works hard. But Mary wants to have a nicer house because of the neighbors or the people that she goes to church with. She wants nicer. And John wants a nicer car than the one that he's driving. And so they get themselves into a financial crunch because of their desires, and they get snowed under with their bills, and it causes tension in the home, and then a baby comes along, and more bills, more credit cards, more problems, and because of their lust, because of their desires, and then it causes tension between the two of them, causes tension in the home. There's fighting, there's accusing, and all of these kind of things, and it causes strife. It's this lust and war, and same thing can happen in a church. Maybe it's in the area of jealousy. Somebody thinks that they're not being noticed and somebody else is getting noticed too much, and pretty soon there's sides in the church and people are fighting and making sides, and then a division can even happen. So this is reality, but it shouldn't be this way. We should be content with what we have, and we should not be lusting after things and going into debt, getting snowed under financially. That's not wise. It's not the wisdom that's from above. So gold nugget number 10 is beware. Lust can destroy the family and the church. And gold nugget number 11, friendship with the world is spiritual adultery. And that we're going to take out of the next verse 4, and it goes right along with what we've been talking about. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So friendship with the world is spiritual adultery. He starts this verse off with you adulterers and adulteresses. If you're going to be a friend of the world, you're going to be God's enemy. And I think we need to take this one very seriously, especially us who live in America, because it's so easy to get to be a friend of the world in so many different ways. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we're not to be conformed to this world. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So here we're told not to love the world. We're told in Romans not to be conformed to the world. We're told in James not to be a friend of the world. And also another one in James, it says, in James 1:27, it says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And so here are these four things, not to be a friend of the world, not to be conformed to the world, not to love the world, and not to be spotted by the world. And I'll just ask this question in closing. How close is too close? How much spotting can we have of the world? How much love of the world can we have? How much conformity to the world can we have? How much friendship of the world can we have and still be right with God? I think we need to deal with that and not be a friend of the world and want to be like the world, be like the Americans in America here as far as the world goes. But we should have a higher calling. We should, our friendship should be with towards God and his people. Our conformity should be to the Bible. Our love should be towards God and his people. And we should be spotted by the things that are of God and not of this world. I don't know if that speaks to any of you, but it hits me in areas, and I think it's very important. I believe it's very important for us to see this and deal with it in our lives and just have more of a love for God, more of a friendship with God and not with the things of this world. So God bless you. Thank you for calling in. Lord willing, we'll finish this series up tomorrow.